Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time to the Bible Crossfire radio program. We allow you to call in with your Bible questions or comments. We discuss what the Bible has to say about any particular issue, controversial issues, non-controversial issues. If it's an issue having to do with the Scriptures, we want to talk about it. And the way we settle all, quote, disputes is by letting God tell us through His Word what the answer is. God's Word tells us the truth about particular issues, like should women be preachers, gay marriage, infant baptism. Is that scriptural? How do we decide if these things are scriptural? You turn to the Bible and find out what the Bible has to say. The Bible tells us the truth. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So we're only truly a disciple of Christ if we continue in his word. And if we continue in his word, the next verse promises this: ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free from sin. That implies that false religious teaching, error, will not make us free from sin. The only way we're going to be made free from our sins is if we believe and practice the truth, God's truth, whatever it has to say about any particular thing. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought we'd talk about a question. Is belief in Christ absolutely necessary to being saved? Now, the reason I want to ask this question is because I'm guessing about a year ago, we did a lesson where we quoted Billy Graham. As much as Billy Graham said in his crusades that a person had to believe in Christ to be saved, he came out publicly in at least two periodicals and said that a person could be saved without believing in Christ, that a faithful Jew or a faithful Muslim without believing in Christ could be saved if they're faithful to their religion. We brought that up. And about just a few months ago, somebody called in to reference the quotes from Billy Graham that I had on that program about a year ago. I didn't have those quotes in front of me at that time, so I decided at that time I would bring up these quotes again. I have them in front of me tonight. Let's talk about them. But first, let's begin with John 3:16 to find out what the Bible has to say, because that's the most important thing, what the Bible has to say about whether or not a person has to believe, absolutely has to believe, in order to be saved. John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So almost all understand, rightly so, this verse to mean that a sinner has to believe in Christ to be saved. For example, an atheist, one who does not believe in God, will not be saved. Now, almost all say that, but some preachers, and I'm fixing to bring out Billy Graham as one of those, some preachers want to hedge. Some will ask, what about someone like in a third world country who has never heard the gospel? Well, the answer, the real answer, the truthful answer, is not that those people don't have to believe. If God requires some to believe, but others are not so required, then that would make God a respecter of persons, showing favoritism. But Acts 10:34-35 says, God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness will be accepted of him. The answer is, to people who've never heard the gospel, say somebody in a third world country, the answer is that God has guaranteed that those who truly look for God will find him. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." So if a person in that third world country really seeks God, then God will make sure he finds. Perhaps God will send a preacher there to tell him what the gospel is. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2 in the Old Testament said, "If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." So that verse guarantees the same thing we read in the New Testament. If we seek God, we will be found of him. Now, the other side of the coin is also mentioned. If we forsake him, he will forsake us. Many teach today that God will never forsake a person once they become a Christian. But this verse talks about forsaking God. If we forsake Him, then God will forsake us. So God will forsake us if we forsake Him. So nobody is going to be saved in their unbelief. Instead, according to these passages, instead, if they are sincere, they will be given an opportunity to learn about Christ and then either accept or reject Him and His way. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call, 877-655-6755. Next, as I said, some will ask about the Jews and other religions. Even though they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, since they are faithful to their religion, won't they be saved? That's the question that's raised. They don't believe in Jesus, but if they're faithful to their religion, won't they be saved, like Jews or Muslims? Billy Graham, is, as I mentioned earlier, is famous for teaching in crusade after crusade that people needed to come forward and accept Christ in order to be saved. But in an interview with Robert Schuller on May 31st, 1997, here's what Mr. Graham said. Quote, "Whether they come from the Muslim world, or the Buddhist world, or the Christian world, or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved and they're going to be with us in heaven." That's what Billy Graham said. The non-believing world, they're members of the body of Christ. They may not even know the name of Jesus. But if they're faithful to their religion, they're going to be with us in heaven. Here's what he said in McCall's magazine in January 1978. That's about 21 years before that. 19 years before that. Graham said, "I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost. We're going to H-E-L-L. If they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them, I no longer believe that. I believe that there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God through nature, for instance, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore, of saying yes to God." You see? So they don't even believe in Jesus, but there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God, other ways of saying yes to God. This is what Billy Graham is saying. He's saying that people can be saved without believing in Christ. Camille from Delaware, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I'd like to know, should one be baptized in the name of Jesus, or should they be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost?
That's the same thing. What we're saying when you say baptize in the name of Jesus, or baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, what those things mean, and you can find those expressions, for example, in Matthew 28:19 and 20 and Acts 2:38, is that the preacher is supposed to baptize somebody by the authority of their Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's supposed to baptize by the authority of Jesus, and that's the same authority. So those two things mean the same thing, Camille.
No, because in my church, we believed that you go down in the name of Jesus Christ. When I spoke to other beliefs about that, they said, no, you have to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe it's all in the same. But in the New Testament, Paul says time and again to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yep, and Jesus says to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And since there's no contradictions in the Bible, we know those two phrases mean the same thing. When you baptize somebody in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that means the preacher is baptizing the person by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when he baptizes somebody in the name of Jesus, that means he's baptizing by the authority of Jesus. And that's the same thing. That Jesus and the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost all believe and teach the same thing. So you're baptizing in the name of Jesus, you're baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's all one and the same thing. When people think those are two different things, they're confused. And in effect, they think there's a contradiction in the Bible. They think Matthew 28:19 contradicts Acts 2:38. And that's just not so. Those two things mean exactly the same thing. They're not mutually exclusive. It's a false dichotomy to try to ask the question, should we be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or in the name of Jesus? That's the same thing. Both of those are the same thing. Susan from Illinois, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I'd like to know why you use H-E-L-L instead of hell. Hell is in the Bible multiple times.
Mm-hmm. I just have a policy that I never say cuss words no matter what. Thank you for your call, Susan. And so we were talking about Billy Graham. And we notice, of course, that the Bible teaches you got to believe in Christ. But Mr. Graham said that people in far-off countries, even if they've never heard the gospel of Christ, can be saved, even if they never believe in Jesus, if they're faithful to their religion. Perhaps they're Jews or Muslims. So Mr. Graham is one of those that hedged. He taught in his crusades that you have to believe in Christ to be saved. But when somebody pressed him on it, he has it in these national publications, he has it that you don't really have to believe in Christ. If you're a faithful Jew, you'll be saved like that. If you're a faithful Muslim, you can be saved like that, even though you never believe in Christ. But here's what God says in passages. How about John 14, verse 6? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see what Jesus said? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no exceptions. You cannot be saved without going through Christ. Here's another passage, John 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So if we don't believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, the Son of God, this verse says we'll die in our sins. That means the atheist, the Jew, and the Muslim, if they don't change and believe in Christ, they're going to die in their sins. We can't hedge on that. We can't say, well, that it's not true that Jews and Muslims are going to be saved if they're faithful to their religion. No, if they don't believe in Christ, these verses make it clear they're not going to be saved. That's the quotes from Billy Graham that somebody asked me about a month or two ago that I didn't have in front of me. Those two quotes, the one from McCall's Magazine and the one from Robert Schuller. Susan from Illinois, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I'd like to know if a person who believes in eternal security, are they sinning?
What do you mean by believing in eternal security?
Once saved, always saved.
Well, once saved, always saved, and eternal security are not the same thing. Eternal security is what the Bible teaches. Once saved, always saved is what these false preachers preach, who basically say, once you're saved, you can live any old way you want to and still be saved. That's teaching that is definitely false teaching. And anytime we teach false doctrine, that's a sin. Does that answer your question, Susan?
No. I want to know what you're saying the eternal security is in the Bible. Explain that.
Eternal security is that if we trust and obey God, then we're going to be saved. Not here's what the once saved, always saved is that if at one time you trusted God, but then you quit, you're going to be saved anyway. What the Bible teaches about eternal security is that if you continue to trust and obey God, you're going to be saved. But if you quit, if you decide to quit obeying God, decide to quit believing in Him, then you're not going to be saved.
I don't think people believe in Jesus just once and then go on their way. But
what we're worried about is what, not necessarily what anybody thinks, Susan, with all due respect. We're worried about what the Bible teaches. And notice here's a passage in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It says, take heed, brethren, so this is talking to Christians, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So this verse makes it very clear, Susan, that a brother in Christ, it's possible for them to develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. So a lot of people may say they don't think that can happen, but the Bible teaches over and over and over again that it can happen. It can happen. I've known of cases where people who used to be believers in Christ quit believing in Christ. People who used to follow the teachings of the Bible, people who used to follow God, they quit. And this verse shows it's very possible. He warns them, do not develop an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Susan, have you heard the program before, my little silly, funny little illustration about the shark warning?
No.
The shark warning in North Alabama. What would you think if you saw a road sign in North Alabama saying, beware of sharks?
Yeah, okay.
That's funny because we don't have any ocean here in North Alabama. It wouldn't make any sense to put up a sign that says, beware of sharks in North Alabama. And so the Bible warns not to fall away many, many times. And it wouldn't make any sense for the Bible, God, to warn them against falling away if it were impossible for them to fall away any more than it would be make sense for us to put up shark warnings in North Alabama. Because there's no sharks here. That doesn't make any sense. So when God warns us, for example, in Hebrews 3:12, be careful lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, then it's obviously possible for a Christian to develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. You follow what I'm saying,
Is that
Susan?
Person someone who has actually asked Christ to be their Savior, or is it somebody who's hanging out with Christians?
No, I'll just clarify. Verse 12, it calls them brethren. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, that's the brethren, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then verse 1 makes it even stronger. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So these brethren, Susan, talked about in verse 12, are, according to verse 1, are holy brethren, brethren who have been partakers of the heavenly calling. That can only describe a person who's become a Christian. And it warns them against developing an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. So it's very possible for a holy brother, one who has partaken of the heavenly calling, that's got to be a Christian, to develop an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. And then, Susan, let me turn one book to my right. James 5, 19 and 20 also shows this possibility and shows what happens when a person does this. Let me read for you, Susan, James 5, 19 and 20. It says, brethren, talking about Christians again, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So here's what's contemplated there. Here's a brother in Christ, a Christian, he errs from the truth. Well, that verse, that passage, Susan, is making it my job, my responsibility to try to convert him back. It says, if I convert him back, I save his soul from death. Obviously talking about spiritual death there. But if I fail to convert him back, maybe I try, but he refuses to be converted back, then the implication is, the necessary implication is that his soul will die. And so here's the possibility that he can err from the truth. And if he's not converted back, Susan, his soul will die. He'll be lost. That's James 5, 19 and 20, Susan. You see that?
I see that. But previously in the book of Hebrews, he's talking to Hebrews as brethren.
Yeah, but he's not talking about... No, he's calling them brethren in the sense of Christians, because he says he's not talking about brethren in the sense of Jews, because in verse 1, Hebrews 3:1, he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So Jews at that time, they were lost. Jews at that time were not saved. But this is talking about holy brethren. That's talking about Christians. Partakers of the heavenly calling. A Jew who's never believed in Christ has never partaken of the holy calling. So he's talking about brethren in the sense of being in Christ, saved in Christ. And he warns them against developing an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. And if they can't fall, if they can't change from belief to unbelief, then that warning makes no more sense than putting up a sign in North Alabama saying, beware of the sharks. And then James 5, 19 and 20 talking about brethren in Christ, says that if one errs from the truth and we're not able to convert him back, his soul will die. Now, the only thing, Susan, in favor of the once saved, always saved position, there's no verses that come anywhere close to teaching once saved, always saved. There's just a lot of preachers that say it so. So the only way, Susan, with all due respect, that you could have ever gotten an idea that once saved, always saved might be true is because some preacher incorrectly told you it was so. You could not have found anything like that in the Bible, Susan. There's nothing in the Bible that would lead you to the conclusion, once saved, always saved. You follow me?
How do you explain him saying that he'll never let you fall from his hand?
He never says that. He never says that.
I think he does, but I don't know my Bible well enough to...
Yeah.
He
never
does
says
say
that.
He'll never forsake us.
Now, remember that passage I read earlier, already in this program, in 2 Chronicles 5:2, he says, if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So he never says, I will never forsake you. He says, if you forsake him, that means if we forsake God, he will forsake you. Did you get that, Susan? That's 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2. If ye forsake him, talking about a person forsaking God, it says, he will forsake you. Robert from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I hope the people are listening to what I'm saying here. But a lot of stuff that you're telling people depends on what version of the Bible you're reading from. Because if you go back and you read the original text you're talking about, the Hebrews, that's not what it says. Also, I hope and pray the people that are listening, I hope they understand that once you come to Jesus Christ and you put your complete total faith in him, absolutely nothing is going to separate you from him, and you'll be saved for eternity. And I hope the people realize that you're a false prophet talking there, young man.
Thank you for your call, Robert. So Robert is a perfect example of what I was talking about with Susan. You could never find a verse that teaches once saved, always saved. The only reason people think that once saved, always saved is because that's true is because people like Robert mistakenly preach once saved, always saved is true. The only people you hear it from is preachers. You never read about it in the Bible. The Bible always teaches that a person that's a Christian is possible for them to fall away. The only thing that ever says you can't fall away once you become a Christian are false preachers, false teachers. The Bible never says it. As I said in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, the verse says, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, you can't make it any more clear than that. The preachers will say, God, no matter what you do, he'll never forsake you. No matter how you live, you could be a murderer, a rapist. If you become a Christian, he won't forsake you. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says if you forsake him, he will forsake you. The Bible says in Hebrews 3, it warns these holy brethren against departing from the living God by developing an evil heart of unbelief. We already read in James 5, 19 and 20, that it says if a brother in Christ, errs from the truth, then his soul dies if we're not able to convert him back. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, talking about people who were trying to be justified by the Old Testament law, it says, ye are fallen from grace. Now, preachers will say, once you're a Christian, you can't fall from grace. But the Bible says about these people who were Christians, ye are fallen from grace. Rodney, you got to make your question really quick. I've only got 1 minute.
All right, I guess the only thing I was going to say is you have a more tenable position to acknowledge that John 10, 27 and 28, you know, I think it's a debate. But John 10, 27 and 28 clearly says, you know, I give unto them eternal life, you know, no one shall take them out of my hand. The same point that she was referencing, she just didn't know the verse.
Yeah, but John 10, 27 and 28 is talking about those who follow him. My sheep are those that follow me. So he's only talking about those who follow Christ in John 10, 27 to 28. Nothing will take them out of the Father's hand if they follow him. But what if they quit, refuse, what if they quit follow him? Then they can be lost. You want to talk more about that particular subject or any subject, send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com.